Minnesota sports fans, we know all too well how it feels to sign up for a lifetime of purple pain. Welcome to Before We Die with Jesse and Thor on Purple Daily and Score North.
Cheerio. Hello. We're going. I told you guys it was coming. I'm not even going to. You guys can't get mad. I warned you on Monday that I was bringing my English accent, my terrible, terrible English accent, because you guys. Before We Die episode today, we are previewing the Minnesota Vikings versus the New Orleans Saints in London. 8:30 start time. I'm Jesse Pierce. He's Thor Nystrom. He's Ross Brendel. This is Before We Die on Score North and Purple Daily. Guys, are you ready? Are you ready for some American football?
Why does that sound Australian and not British?
It's like the same. It's basically the same rule, right? Basically under the crown, whatever. Guys, it's going to be fun. They are in London. New Orleans has been over there all week, and that's what Minnesota actually did back in, 2013? The Vikings stuck around, headed back. Do you think that there is a true strategy to getting over there? I mean, getting your body adjusted probably a little bit, or do you think it's probably a little bit all for naught?
There's the accent at the end of that sentence. I caught that. There is a strategy. It's just that if you read around, nobody could seem to agree on what the correct strategy is. You're sort of alluding to it. The Saints flew out right after their game on Sunday night. They flew overseas. The Vikings actually won't do it until tonight. Thursday night is when they're flying over. So they're only going to have, 2 days in town before the game kicks off. Some people, sleep scientists or whatever, they think it's better if, the shorter trip. Some are arguing that the longer trip is better. I guess we'll find out on Sunday.
I mean, you miss out on the sightseeing. Have you guys been to London?
I never have. Have you?
I have. Yeah.
Is that where that accent comes from?
That's where the accent comes from. I picked it up over there within the 14 hours I spent in London just jamming around, I don't know, seeing Big Ben, doing all that whole thing. It's pretty. It's cool over there. I like it.
I was just going to say, I have never been there, but I do have a canvas picture on my kitchen wall of Big Ben, and not Ben Roethlisberger, the real Big Ben.
I hope it's not Ben Roethlisberger.
No, there's a lot of things wrong with having that. Again, very exciting to have them in London. I do love it. I'm a big, have you guys ever seen Green Street Hooligans?
Oh, great movie.
Phenomenal. So that's where I pick up my English accent, you know. But
your English accent, it sounds like a D in Always Sunny in Philadelphia when she tries to do the accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sweet D.
I have been compared to Sweet D in a number of instances, and that this will just add to the list. But anyway,
this is the most flattering context.
Let's talk some football, you guys. Minnesota now 2-1, New Orleans 1-2. You know, first things first, Minnesota's favored, right? We looked at this, circled it on the calendar. Thor thought they were going to win this game all along, I'm sure. Are they throttling the New Orleans Saints, Thor? New Orleans pretty pretty injured as well. They've got some question marks. Are they going to throttle them?
I'm gonna hold off on my descriptive words in describing my predictions now. I don't know if I'm going to say a throttling in this one, but I do think the Vikings match up really, really well. I'm certainly picking the Vikings to win and absolutely picking them to cover at -2.5 with where it is right now. I think it's a game where they match up pretty well, and I'm sure we'll get into the specifics of that later in the episode, but I think the Vikings match up well heading into this one.
I mean, they're only 2.5 favorites, and actually New Orleans 1-2. They shouldn't have beat Atlanta in week one either. They really should be 0-3. So, I mean, you do think that it's probably favorable. Jameis Winston, I want to talk about some of the injuries that New Orleans seems to be facing, some potentials day-to-day. Jameis Winston held out for the second straight practice, which in our they said it, our first they said it. He said, they told me I wasn't practicing. It wasn't my choice. I'm preparing like every week, preparing to play. But wouldn't it be a gift from the Heavenly Fathers if Andy Dalton was the starting quarterback against the Minnesota Vikings instead of Jameis Winston?
The Red Rifle overseas. Yeah, absolutely. we'd love it. And that seems, it's a weird situation, right? Cause Winston didn't practice in a week of the practice week, that's important to have your starters practicing. And then he seems to be insinuating it's not his decision. I'm not really sure what's going on there, but yeah, it would be a great present to wake up on Sunday morning and hear that Andy Dalton is starting for the Saints for sure.
This Saints team is starting to look like a team that has no real interest or idea of how to win many football games this year. So
yeah,
let's hope that that is the case. I'll be honest, and I'm trying to shake this, anytime you hear about a backup quarterback potentially starting against the Minnesota Vikings, you start to get the palpitations, the anxiety goes up, because I'd have to look this up, but I think if you go to profootballreference.com, I think backup quarterbacks all time against the Vikings win at like a 99.9% clip. Mm-hmm. So that terrifies me, because the Vikings love to make backup quarterbacks look like they should be in the Hall of Fame. I say that mildly in jest, but it does always give me a little bit of worry when I see that.
I mean, Winston's been dealing with those nagging back injuries, but he's been sacked 11 times in 3 games. So I guess even if he's in, you know what, it's probably okay. Like you had mentioned, Ross, I like that reference that they have no interest in winning. Similar to my fantasy football team, guys, there's my fantasy football reference. Knock it down.
Obligatory fantasy football mentions.
Struggles. Made a terrible trade. It's where it's going to pan out. We'll figure it out. We'll get our lines in set here. Back to New Orleans, wide receiver Michael Thomas also did not practice on Wednesday. Wide receiver Jarvis Landry did not practice. Wide receiver Tyquan Smith, concussion, limited capacity. Are they going to be healthy? They're signing guys from the practice squad to be a part of this team for potential Sunday. I mean, again, I don't like to use the word throttle, Thor, but I do think that Minnesota should handily win this game against New Orleans, especially if these players are out and they are using their second and third liners as well.
I like that. Let's use the word handily this way. I'm with you. The Vikings are going to win this game handily. So that's big, right? I mean, like the thing that you're sort of concerned about with the Vikings cornerbacks is when they face the good receiving corps, and then they can be potentially singed deep. We haven't yet seen the full manifestation of that, because in the first game, Aaron Rodgers wasn't throwing deep. The Packers really don't throw deep. And against the Eagles, Hurts was feasting on them, but it wasn't with super deep air yards. I mean, they had the one with Watkins on the broken coverage, but you know, outside of that, they were sort of feasting in the intermediate range. But Jameis Winston loves to throw deep. But if his receiving core is depreciated, I'm not sure if that's going to work out for him. Because the other thing to keep an eye on here, the Saints have one of the worst pass blocking units in the entire NFL. I think the Vikings pass rush is going to acquit itself really well. A couple different stats for you guys. The Saints are 30th in pressure rate. Well, this is going on. I'm going to flip it to the other side, the Saints pass rush. But the whole point being, in the trenches, the Vikings win on both sides of this matchup, I think. But the Saints pass rush is number 32 in win rate and number 30 in pressure rate. And they also blitzed at the fourth lowest rate in the entire NFL. So I think Cousins is going to be comfortable. But then on the other side, as you mentioned, the Saints have not been protecting Jameis Winston very well. And his prerogative is to throw deep. We've been wondering how the Vikings cornerbacks are going to deal with that when and if it happens. But if their Saints receiving room is depreciated and you already have the offensive line woes a little bit with a pass protection, I think that could portend well for the Viking defense.
And Thor, we talked about it earlier this week on Before We Die. I've been a little unimpressed with the Vikings pass rush. This would be a great game for them to assert themselves.
Yeah.
And hopefully start to feel good as the schedule starts to get a little bit tougher. Also, I think it would just be good to, again, we all know, but getting to 3-1 sounds really good. And it's really good a fourth of the way into the season, because then you can kind of start to have fun. You can start to project, okay, well, they went 3-1 this quarter of the season. Can they get to 6-2 by the roughly halfway point? Once we get through this week and probably next week, we're going to have a really good idea of not just the Minnesota Vikings, but a really good, I think, overall picture of how the NFL is shaping up. The Bears technically in the mix for the division. I don't think it's going to look that way at week 8, but you never know. And the Vikings will get the Bears here in 2 weeks.
Right. I agree. I mean, we got a little cocky after week 1. We got a little cocky. We've been brought back down to earth. Continuing on, players for New Orleans to watch. Marshawn Lattimore, the likely coverer for Justin Jefferson, who Jefferson had said in the past is one of the toughest matchups that he has faced. Lattimore held him to 3 catches on 7 targets upon their first meeting a couple years ago. How do you guys think that's going to fare? Are we going to, again, see Justin Jefferson kind of step back up somewhere in between week 1, week 2, week 3? I mean, we saw Adam Thielen jump in and really assert himself last week, the old Mr. Reliable. Is it going to be a mixture of those both, or is it going to be JJ's game to run?
I think this is a lot of this is going to come down to how the Saints game plan, right? Marshawn Lattimore is another elite corner, and maybe the most elite, him and Slay, that Jefferson has faced. And obviously, Okuda in the last week played really well against Jefferson. But are the Saints after – so you had the Eagles game where the Eagles played the safety over the top, helped the entire game on Jefferson, and that worked like gangbusters because the Vikings were not going to their secondary reads. The rushing game completely went out of the game script, and so they were just sort of feeble after that happened. But then you saw in the Lions game that was also happening initially, and the Vikings offense, again, was just languishing and didn't know what to do. But then when they started to go to the secondary receivers and stuff like that, and then Cook was running a little bit better, then all of a sudden the offense was moving again. So are the Saints going to, having watched that, are they going to delineate two defenders the entire game to Justin Jefferson? If you delineate the safety over the top and Lattimore, yeah, they're probably going to hold him down and or erase him. But the problem with it is, like we talked about on past episodes, that means you're 9 on 10 the rest of the field. Cousins is going to have to get the ball to Thielen, have to get the ball to some of these other guys. And again, going back to my previous point, the great thing for Cousins in this game is he is going to have clean pockets to survey the field the entire game. The Saints do not get pressure on the quarterback. And not only that, they don't blitz either. It's a heavy, heavy zone coverage defense where they drop everybody back and they try to keep everything in front of them. That's a defense that's going to frustrate Jefferson because, again, they have the extra defender to delineate to him. I assume that that's what the Saints are going to do, that same sort of a strategy. But I think the rest of the guys are going to be able to eat again because Kirk is going to have time back there. There will not be pressure in his face.
Let's say this carries on throughout the year where Jefferson has, I don't know, maybe one game a month, maybe a couple games a month, where it doesn't necessarily show up in the stat sheet what he's doing for the team. But let's say he's still helping the team win, or let's flip the argument. If the team's not winning, do we worry about how Justin Jefferson might act or how he might feel if the team is not winning and he's not getting catches? I don't think he has that level of diva in him. But I do think it's an interesting subplot to see. If the team's winning, I don't really think there's any issues. Maybe there is behind the scene, but nothing will be said publicly. If the team's losing, I don't worry a ton about it, but it's possible there could be some grumblings.
Well, I'm going to say two things on this. Number one, that kid is not a diva, right? Like, I mean, we have seen
Thor knows divas. Thor knows.
Yes, he does.
This is coming from a diva knows a diva, and and Jefferson is not a diva. And like speaking to like his sort of energy around the team when he's not getting his, but the team's doing well. I'll take you back to the kneel down against the Lions, the last play of the game. Jefferson does, you know, he's in the back and he sort of falls on his back and then does this thing where he flips up to his feet without using his hands to celebrate the win. Like as the clock was ticking to zero, he could not have been more tickled pink that they'd won that game. Jefferson understands what's going on, that you can't throw me the ball when I'm being double covered by, an A cornerback plus the safety help over the top. But what that's going to do is open up all these other opportunities. The other thing I would say is I'm not going to throw any dirt on Thielen. Thielen's still a good player. But whether it's this coming April or the April after that, the Vikings, I believe, are going to be taking a wide receiver in the first round of the draft because at that time, you know, when Thielen is ready to move on or except sort of an ancillary role. I think that you know, at some point you're going to have a situation where they get a guy that they're sort of staking that they think he's going to be able to dominate single coverage on the other side. They're going to get Jefferson help, right? Like this administration just took over this team. They haven't had the time in Bill Parcells' parlance to buy all of the groceries yet. They've started to buy some of them, but I think if they had their druthers, they're going to have a guy on the other side of the field that can consistently beat that coverage. Thielen could do it a bit for sure, but like I think going forward, Jefferson is never going to have to sort of question whether the team is helping him as an individual or helping the team itself win.
And I very quickly want to point out parlance and druthers. Great use of those two words.
I literally show up to this podcast for the word usage and the analogies that Thor brings. Like, wow, man. Like, you know what? Amazing. Bravo.
Brothers is a
you
great
You won't hear
word.
Me compliment you too often, Thor, because I like to keep
it doesn't happen often.
Earth, but, you know, you and your team of tendencies. But spot on. spot on, sir. Spot on. I'm going to do this all episode. Anyway, another guy that obviously, if he can go, Dalvin Cook, we saw him get a lot more use last week, in that win against Detroit. Are we confident in Alexander Mattison, though? If Cook is not ready to go, also, side note, sounds like Harrison Smith will be activated as well. So those are some things to watch for Minnesota. How do we feel about Cookie Monster jumping in there, or are we comfortable with Mattison?
Yeah, I think we've gotten good news on both those guys, so that's great. As far as Harrison Smith, he was back at practice, a full participant on Wednesday. That's always the awesome indication that that guy's going to play. So it seems like he's going to be fine. That's going to be awesome. The matchup of Jameis liking to throw deep and what Harrison can do closing on the ball, we can talk about that in a second. But as far as the running back room, I think, you know, with Cook probably being active in this game and being sort of the 1A, but I do think that you can expect to see Mattison getting that more work, as sort of the 1B there.
Yeah.
And Cook looked good outside. I'm not going to take him to task for the fumble again. I did in the last episode. But outside of that, he looked pretty good in that pass game. So, I like the matchup of him as well going up against that Saints run defense. And then mixing Mattison in as well. I think they're going to have a little bit of success on the ground, especially if they're running behind Ed Ingram. Man, that kid has got some real, real dynamite in those hands. And like, we haven't gotten as much to talk about like some of the ones, and like the internet right now is going nuts at like, oh, the Vikings, not that they missed on all these picks, but like, we haven't seen Louis Cine. We haven't seen Brian Asamoah. We haven't seen Atomwa. We've seen very little of Evans, but Ed Ingram has been an immediate smashing success. So I thought I'd mention that too. And it's improved the running between the tackles.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, sticking kind of back to the offense too, we've seen Kevin O'Connell's offensive schemes in kind of different manners, obviously against different opponents. The one thing that remains fairly consistent is that aggressiveness, that attacking that he always does. My second, they said it, is from Kevin O'Connell this week, that first and 10 play is important to kind of determine where we'll go from there and the level of aggression we'll have. It's an evolving thing throughout the success of that early down, but I think a lot of it is just the confidence we have in our guys and in Kirk to make good decisions and understand that the risk reward in the moment might be different than other times in the game. Is this going to be another aggressive offense that we see against New Orleans? Are they going to let Kirk throw it down? Let's go hard, go for it on fourth and 10, for instance, whatever it might be. I mean, what are your thoughts there? Are we feeling good? I know we saw Greg Joseph make some attempts last week, or you think they're going to see more of him and let him kick the ball a little bit more or go for it?
Well, now that he's away from those doors that were haunting him, I think he'll be okay. And now that he can get his fish and chips before the game.
Windy doors.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I do. But I would not aggressive in terms of throwing deep. I don't think that that's how it's going to manifest. I think they're going to try to eat the Saints lunch in the intermediate area. And likely, again, if the Saints are delineating the two guys, and maybe you just use Jefferson, I mean, if this is what it comes down to and that's what they're going to do, maybe you just use him to drift the players on his side down the field and then you just open up all the intermediate space. I think that's where you can really eat the lunch of this Saints defense. And again, I've harped on this point, but I think it's really important. The Vikings coaching staff is not going to be concerned at all about Cousins getting the heat in his face, about being in a second and 17 situation because he just took a sack. He's going to get to drop back a whole bunch, but I think it's going to be more of the short passing game. I also think that you can run the ball on this defense. The Saints are totally middle of the pack in terms of their run defense. So I think that that's where you end up attacking the Saints defense. What they're going to give you is that stuff. What they're not going to give you are the deep shots. So I don't think it's going to be as much throwing down the field, but I do think there's going to be plenty of throwing. And that person agrees with me.
I think Jesse, your point on Greg Joseph, I think, is a little bit interesting. I think the Vikings will be aggressive on fourth down where it warrants being aggressive. I think they're always going to be that way. I think we saw that week one with KOC. However, I would say this. If they get in a situation where maybe it's fourth and two and it's going to be like a 46, 47, 48-yard attempt, I think early in the game they're going to take that 3-1 because you want points. Two, I think they also want Greg Joseph to see himself put a ball through the uprights, whether it's on this continent or another continent. I do think they're going to give him an opportunity. I don't think anybody's really worried about Greg Joseph because, again, those were two 56-yard field goals
right.
that he missed, and he made every extra point center cut. But with kickers, you always worry about confidence. I think they'll give him a chance to put one through early if the situation presents itself.
Yeah, no, I would take Greg Joseph on my fantasy team, second obligatory, because Butker was my first kicker and he hasn't played. So that's
awesome. I was just going to say, as far as the thing about the long field goals with Joseph, heading into that game against the Lions, he was 9-for-12 in his career from 50-plus. You're going to take that. The mm-hmm. odds are you're going to try. Now, do you want to put him in situations where he has to kick a 58 yarder to force overtime? No, but like he's an above average long field goal kicker. And by the way, a way that, for instance, Austin Siebert of the Lions was not, which is why I thought that decision was so weird. The Lions at the end of the last game to have Austin Siebert attempt that 56 or 57 yarder. That's a guy we've seen over and over again, can't kick long field goals. I do trust Joseph long-term in terms of what the percentages should be for that kind of a kick.
Yeah, I'd agree. Let's switch over to the defense as we had kind of touched on it. Thor mentioned Ed Ingram, obviously Harrison Smith coming back is going to be huge. How do you think the defense in Ed Donatell's system is going to fare against Jameis Winston's mobility? We saw how Jalen Hurts hurt the Vikings, if you will. Do you think Winston poses the same problem against the defense, or do you think they have some of that figured out?
Here's the person who poses the problem to the Vikings defense. And I was hoping upon hoping that over the summer, between the legal stuff he was dealing with and then the injury concern that he had earlier, that we were not going to see him, because I did not want to see him in this game. Alvin Kamara poses a real problem for the Vikings defense. And Ed Donatell needs to figure something out. He can't keep doing the thing of keeping the safeties way back and keeping the thin box against a guy like Alvin Kamara, because he's going to hurt you as a runner, but also doing the stuff leaking out of the backfield and coming around, sitting down behind the line of scrimmage, stuff like that. He's going to get his, but there are schematic adjustments I think that Donatell can make in order to try to tamp down on it a little bit. That's the one guy on that Saints offense that you're afraid of. As far as Winston, I'm just not concerned about the guy. Like I'm just not. They have okay, like sort of like ancillary stats, but a lot of it is like stat padding type things. I'm just not. The thing with Winston again, like that I think you're going to see more than you've seen in the first three games. It's the throwing deep thing, but that's why I think it's so important that Harrison Smith is back, and the safety room has been playing better. Right, like Bynum played better in the last game. Metellus, now we know that he can come in and he can do stuff. Like you can trust Metellus. We'll see about Scene, but I think Kamara's the guy you worry about. I'm not worried at all about Jameis Winston, though.
I think you worry about Kamara just a little bit, but one, I'll remind you, Thor, it's not the 2017 divisional round of the playoffs. Kamara's got a bit more tread on those tires. Also, I think it's easier to scheme for when you know he's basically their number 1A and 1B option. But yes, I do worry about the shell defense and the lack of adjustments and the softness we've seen the first 3 weeks. It's so early to make these large scale opinions about Ed Donatell, but so far for me, the early returns are very meh. But again, I will caution, it's very early. So we'll see how Sunday plays out in London Town.
And Ross, just to the point of the Vikings run defense, they're giving up the fifth highest success rate on opposing runs in the NFL and fourth highest explosive run rate in the NFL. I realize that the Kamara maybe no longer is at the peak of his powers, but it's still overall, it's a concerning thing. And we've seen in the Kamara can still make people miss. So the Vikings better bring their tackling gear with them and make sure that the first guy that gets there, you either get him down on the ground or greatly slow him down to help the flow of defenders coming behind you to help. Because the one thing that the Vikings cannot have happen here is Alvin Kamara gets multiple explosive plays down the field.
Yeah, I would agree. So overall, guys, we've broken it down on either side of the ball here. Is this going to be a disappointing if the Vikings lose, how disappointed would you be in this loss? Is it something that you could take it and be like, you know what, all right, scrap it, it's fine? Or is it going to be a major upset and kind of derail the hopes and thoughts that you had for this Minnesota Vikings team?
There would be a broken television in my house if the Vikings lose.
I was going to say I would be disappointed because I don't love going through the schedule and penciling wins and losses because you have to see how the season plays out.
Yeah.
But I would say this, you would look at that game early in the season or before the season even started and now through 3 weeks, you do look at this and say there's a high percentage that Minnesota wins the game. And again, just like last week against Detroit, even if it's ugly, find a way to win this game, because I guarantee you late in the year, you're going to want this win, and not having it could hurt you really bad when you get into November and December when it comes to tiebreakers, playoff seeding. And oh, by the way, to get to the playoffs, it would be pretty important to get to 3-1.
Hey, Jesse, it's the time of the Thursday show where I commandeer it for my new segment, Thor's Hammers. Are we all ready?
Let's go.
Okay, we're going to start with passing interceptions. We'll start with Russ. Russ, over under Kirk Cousins interceptions, a half of an interception.
Under.
Okay.
Jesse? Under. He won't throw an interception.
No interception.
I will say, I'll do, I think one. I don't think it'll be, so I think over then.
One. Okay. I think I'm going to go with one as well. So I think I'll take over two, but the Vikings are still going to win.
Negative. Okay. Negative Nancy's.
Over under passing touchdowns. Kirk Cousins, 1.5 live in the market right now. Ross, who you got?
Over.
Okay.
I as well will go over.
I'm going to go over on that one as well. Next one, we got over under passing yards. Kirk Cousins, 258.5. Ross, what do you got over or under?
He had 260 against the Lions. It didn't play all that well. You're selling me that he's going to have all day, or telling me and selling me he's going to have all day to survey his weapons. I will go over.
Ditto.
I'm also going to go over. Now we got a couple of receiving yard ones. This is interesting, going back to what we were talking about with Jefferson and all the attention he could get. Certainly is going to get all the attention in the world from Lattimore throughout the game. Justin Jefferson live online right now. He is 86.5 for his over under receiving yards. Ross, what you got in that one?
I'll go under, but it won't be by much.
I would too. I would say probably around 79 or 80 is what I think for Jefferson. So under.
I think I probably got to go under too, just because I'm expecting the double teams. But if that's not there, he's going over for sure. What about Irv Smith, 26.5 receiving yards?
Wow. All right.
That's tough, because that means he's probably taking about 50 yards away from nothing Munt catches. So what's the number again?
It's 26.5.
I'll take it. All he has to do is not drop the one deep ball they throw him. So I'll take the over.
I'll go under.
Okay, I'm going to go under on Irv as well. Adam Thielen is 48.5, and KJ Osborne's 33.5. Ross, who you got on those?
I would take I'll actually take over on both, because if Kirk's going to throw for more than 260, he's going to have to find those guys and spread the ball. So I'll go over on both.
Over on Thielen, under on KJ.
Okay, I'm going to go over on both as well, because I went under on Jefferson and Irv, and I do think the passing yards are going to be there. Let me pull up the – I haven't done the rushing yards yet.
I feel like I just put Kirk on like a 400-yard passing day just by taking the over on everything.
I mean, you know, as long as he realizes it's not an 8:30 at night game, we should be fine, right? Like, it's all good.
So although is it? Well, because it's – 8:30 plus, it's like a 2:30, 3 o'clock start in London. So yeah, he should be okay.
He should be okay.
So they don't have the rushing for either of the teams. The only guy that they have a rushing prop up for is Kirk Cousins. And the only number I see is 14, but that it's like a juice number. So it would be lower than that, but I guess they're just waiting on the statuses, you know, to like clarify before they put the numbers for the other ones. So that's the end of our Thor's Hammer segment for the week.
I like it. I love it. Thor's Hammers. You gotta have like a cool, like little gift.
Oh, the producers, producers on it. He already made notes for some opens for bits that we need.
Good so work,
the,
produ- you know?
The producers on it.
I love it. And then before we wrap today's episode of Before We Die, brought to you by Purple Daily and Score North, we wanted to dive into some of these comments. We love the fact that you guys are giving us a chance out there. We love the fact that you're engaging, good, bad, ugly, whatever. We're here just to provide some fun, different content on Purple Daily and Score North, and we love you guys giving us that opportunity to do so. So Ross found some comments. Thor and I haven't seen these, so for all we know, they're, you know, we'll see.
It's gonna we actually literally have not, and I'm actually kind of terrified of the comments that Ross found.
I'm glad you said fun, because I chose to focus on the fun comments that we got.
Yeah.
Next week, I think we'll do more of the football-y football comments. Mm-hmm. There's one in here, but here are the comments. There is one for each of us that is we're being jabbed at, and then there's a feel good one.
Okay.
Who would like to get theirs first?
I want to get Zing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Here's what I got for Thor from Stuart Norris on YouTube. Man, I love Thor, but that hat is dirty. Get a new hat or clean that one. Is this the same hat you had on Monday?
No, it's not. Although this one could probably use a wash too, but Stuart is not wrong. I do have to say that the hat I had on Monday, it was my Minnesota Twins hat that I got their inaugural season in Target Field. So there's like the thing on the side where it's like, you know, inaugural season, Minnesota Twins, whatever. What was that? 2009? I think
so. Like, 2010 at Target Field. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, it's my lucky hat. Stuart, you can at least, like, you got lucky things that you wear during the games and stuff like that. Like, you know,
it hasn't worked for you, though. It hasn't worked for you, clearly.
Well, it had worked the day before that, though, against the Lions. So, I mean, that hat and I have been through many wars, but I can say that I will probably be going hat shopping soon because it is probably time for that hat to be sunset, you know, and we'll, like, give it a Viking funeral out on the pond behind the house. I'm going to have to find someone that can shoot a flaming arrow because I
don't do think it.
I'll be able. Oh, you can do. Okay. Yeah. So we'll do that. But yeah, it's my lucky hat. That's all that was.
Jesse Gregory Hammond has this to say about you. Jesse is a closet Packers fan. She gives them so much respect.
Yeah. Respect your opponents, man. I hate the Packers. I really do. Like, my dad would cry if he ever thought that I was a Packers fan, as would most people here in Minnesota. No, I like to be a realist. I respect all opponents, right? I mean, yeah, no, all of them, literally every single one of them, except maybe like the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't have any respect for them, but that's hockey. So you got to give credit where credit's due, man. Like Green Bay is always been Green Bay. They can always point to their wins and their Super Bowl appearances. I mean,
and their losses in the opener when they got embarrassed and smoked.
Well,
there's that too.
I'll say this, Jesse, to keep with the Purple Daily theme here. I don't want you to give them too much credit either, but what I want everybody to do, those listening, comment here on YouTube and Jesse and Thor, when we're done, if you don't know it off the top of your head, look at Green Bay's schedule and try and tell me when they lose next.
Yeah, there you go.
It's probably not until the last Sunday in October, and that's not even a guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, so they're good.
You want my dig, my jab?
Yeah, you got a couple that really just don't care for you much at all.
This is from SLC Norseman, and he's not wrong. I'll preface that right away. He or she is not wrong. Ross has an uncanny resemblance of Ralphie from A Christmas Story. I love that you're watching a Vikings podcast and you comment nothing other than about clearly how handsome and adorable I am.
Obviously. Well, that must have piercing blue eyes as well. Everybody but Thor has good eyes.
And just to make us all feel good, from Ronald Crosby on YouTube, awesome show. The Vikings got to win a Super Bowl before I die, which brings me to a question for you two. The average life expectancy in America is 79 years of age currently. Will the Vikings win a Super Bowl before any one of us turns 79?
Yes.
I say yes to.
Multiple.
I just turned 35 yesterday, so I'm doing the math.
Happy birthday.
34 years then, right? Because I love the Vikings and not the Packers, and just to prove, like, you know, 34 years they've got it in them. Let's see what they can do.
Great, let's do it. Let's go.
That's why you guys are here. Again, thank you guys for checking us out. Again, we have new episodes released every Monday and Thursday. I'm Jesse Pierce. He's Thor Nystrom. He's Ross Brendel. This is Before We Die on Purple Daily Score North. Check out all of our friends who are releasing Vikings content for you all season long. We love it. You guys rock. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Go Vikings.
You don't want Before We Die?
Oh, shit. It is cursed, too. Oh, darn. Before We Die. Yep. You guys threw me off with all these extras.
You just totally lost your London accent and everything. You just went, yeah.
Well, before we
now I'm all
flustered, guys.
Okay, I'll get you going. Okay, yeah. I do not want this to happen. I really hope it never happens, but I do believe it will. Before we die, there will be an NFL football team in London, and it's probably the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that pains me on so many levels.
You know what? I don't hate it. My before we die similar is the NFL will expand into Canada, I think, before we die. I would like to see them maybe not necessarily absorb the CFL, but really embrace kind of the North American, similar to what we got going in hockey. I would like to see the NFL expand to our northern friends as well. So that's
okay.
Let's give Canada one before London.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do. Well,
easier travel.
What, 10, 15 years ago when the Bills were wretched, weren't the Bills playing two home games in Toronto for a couple of years? Yeah. Didn't they do that? So I know they've thought about it. I like that. What do you got?
I'm also still mad at the UK for the war back in the day. I've never gotten over it. I think mine before we die is I want to see a spot. I want to see Louis Seen. I want to see Louis Seen before I die.
People hate how you pronounce his name, by the way.
Oh, Louis. Sorry. What? Okay.
I'd love to see him.
The pronunciation
on the field,
people in the comments are the, okay. I won't say. But anyway, I want to see Seen on the field before I die. I hope it comes up soon, but if I was going to make a prediction before the end of this year, he is going to be needed in a big spot. I don't know, you know, whether through injuries or whether he just ascends up the depth chart or whatever, but we're going to need Louis Seen for my buddy out there in the comments. We're going to need him this year at some point. So I hope he develops quickly, but I am excited to watch him on the field because I do think he's going to bring something to the table.
I mean, Raybor. There you go. I'll help you out.
Jesse,
you can choose pronunciations, Jesse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you can feel free to take us home, Jesse.
All right. You know, now we're going to wrap it up. Let's try it again. Take two. Doesn't happen too often, guys. I'm a one-take wonder. But again, this is Before We Die, our Thursday episode previewing Minnesota Vikings versus New Orleans. In London, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. 8:30 a.m. kickoff. Let's go. Thanks for checking us out, as always, on Purple Daily and Score North. You know all of our friends have other content as well. Alex Boone, Relentless Randy's Rants, and Judd and Mackey and Declan as well. We love it. You guys are awesome. We'll see you guys on Monday. Go Vikes.
Skull Vikes.